CAP Radio in Sacramento. This is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. For months, the city of Sacramento has worked and debated on strategies for closing the city's estimated $44 million budget shortfall. And that work culminates later today, with the city council set to vote on a balanced budget for the upcoming fiscal year. But that process has not been easy, as the city considers the first layoffs in over a decade. And the proposed budget also includes cutting around 24 vacant positions at the Sacramento Police Department, something that law enforcement says will further strain resources at the department that's already understaffed, while others believe the move will help preserve funding for youth, family, and violence prevention programs. We're going to hear some of these different perspectives today. First, we welcome Dustin Smith. He is the president of the Sacramento Police Officers Association, the Union for SAC PD Officers. Welcome to Insight.
Hello, welcome.
So who does the SPOA represent in law enforcement?
Well, the Sacramento Police Officers Association represents our sergeants, officers, dispatchers, community service officers, and park rangers.
How long have you been with SAC PD?
I've been with SAC PD for 26 years now.
So to give us an overview of where things stand today, how many officers does the department currently have employed?
Well, last week I would have told you 639. This week I'm going to have to tell you 637. So we've been, unfortunately, bleeding out over time, and our staffing is kind of a what I would call a critical juncture right now.
So given that you've been with the department now for over 25 years, I mean, you said this week there's 637 officers. What did that number look like, you know, maybe 5 years ago or in recent years?
In more recent years, we hit a SAC PD high of 804 live body police officers here in the city of Sacramento. So dropping down to 637 is a pretty rough place for us as far as being able to provide services for the city. This time next year, we project we'll actually drop below 600 live body police officers with the city.
Why is that? Is that because of retirements or are there other factors at play?
There are other factors. Retirement's one of the factors. And then we also have people that are injured and have to leave the department. And there's also people that are lateraling away to other law enforcement groups in our region.
How many vacant positions does the department currently have? It's more than 100, correct?
It's closer to 200.
200. What are the challenges to filling those positions?
Well, there's several challenges. I mean, I think one of the toughest challenges for recruitment in the city of Sacramento with any of our groups in law enforcement is that you're really not supported here as you are in some of the groups around us in the region. And what I mean by that is every year we go through a budget exercise where we talk about how to cut the police department. Are we going to have to lay people off? Are we going to cut vacancies? And if you're looking for job security when you're coming into a market that really you're a candidate that everybody wants. Right now, nationally, there's a hiring issue with law enforcement. So you have your choice of places, and you have these groups around us with a supportive community, supportive city councils and board of supervisors who say, hey, not only are we hiring you now, but you'll have a job next year and the years to come. That's something that is just much more attractive to the city of Sacramento, where every year it's, well, we're going to hire you now, and we're not sure if you're going to have a job again next year. So that's to me, is one of the more important issues we're dealing with recruiting.
When talking about that competition nearby, are you talking about cities and counties just, you know, a 10 to 15-minute drive away?
Yes. Actually, our local market is tough for us to recruit against because they make similar or even more money in some cases. They have a lesser workload and a less dangerous workload typically than we do here at SAC PD. So you can get paid as much or more to do less work. And most people seem to like that concept.
In recent years, the police department's budget has grown, and it's grown considerably in recent years. It has set records in the past, I think as early as 2021, 2022. So how is that support not there for officers if the budget is increasing for the police department?
Well, quite a bit of these budget increases come from things that were legislated upon the police department. And some of them are very good ideas, so I don't want to sound like I'm saying that they shouldn't have happened. But the introduction of new technology, mandated technology, body cameras, in-car cameras, the redaction of videos, video release, council policy on when video will be released and how, all the money and time that goes into those types of things. It's just a more expensive world. The cost of fuel, you go into all these other things, because it's not necessarily just a labor issue. We have significantly fewer police officers here now, but a larger budget. So some of those just come with the times and are a little bit out of our control.
You mentioned that at the high for the police department in recent years, it was, you know, over 800 officers. You're now at 637. What are the consequences to having 637 officers versus, you know, what you would like, 800 plus?
Yes. Well, 800 plus was a good place to be, but still real short for a city the size of Sacramento. And we've been growing, and we're going to continue to grow as a city. So a city our size should have more like 1,050 police officers in the city of Sacramento. That's just based on population and crimes and the things that we deal with here. Now, seeing that we're a capital city and that we have other services we have to provide when it comes to events and protests and things along those lines, we should be closer to 1,200. So in reality, by this time next year, we'll be half-staffed when it comes to our staffing levels and what it would take to really provide proper services. And even today, the number one thing I kind of point at is we don't have a narcotics team in a city the size of Sacramento in the middle of a fentanyl crisis nationally, including here locally. We have the same fentanyl crisis that we see everywhere else in the nation, but we don't even have a narcotics team to help combat it. So does that
fall to the county, to the sheriff's department and the DA?
Not within the city limits, usually. That's usually something that would be our responsibility. We just don't have the capacity to provide those services. And if we continue to cut, including vacancies and things along those lines, we're going to have to start to look at our POP teams, our violent crime reduction teams, our human trafficking task force, our impact team, which goes out and helps the homeless population within the city of Sacramento. Like, all these teams are at risk right now if we continue these cuts.
With this current budget that the city council will be voting on later this evening to close an estimated $44 million budget deficit, there is the consideration of eliminating vacant positions, not all of the vacant positions within the department, but around two dozen. Some would think, what would be the problem with that if there are vacant positions and that could help save potential layoffs of city staff and city workers, including officers?
No, it's a good question. And right now, we use those vacancies to help fund other services within the police department. Being as short as we are, we have to use overtime, and a lot of it even being mandated overtime, to cover the city with just basic core police services. So the more vacancies we cut, the less services we can provide. And then that list of things I just went down, when you start to talk about units, what we have the capacity to continue to do, like, that list starts to have check marks next to it of who's been eliminated. And that's really the risk of pulling away vacancies from the police department. There's, you know, two dozen, if you talk about it from that perspective. What does that mean? That means that there's going to be fewer officers on the street at one point, to be honest with you. And when I look at what do people expect from the police department just as a general service, I think when you call 911, you expect a police officer to be able to show up and help you with whatever crisis is going on in your life. And the reality is, we're not going to be able to do that for everybody. There are calls we're going to have to cut back on and not be able to continue to go to. And I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think that's what people are really looking for out of a police department.
According to the Community Police Review Commission, when talking about overtime spending, it has increased significantly, about tenfold over the last decade. It was $2.6 million in 2011, $23 million in 2023, and that's according to the city's review commission. Is that more effective or less cost effective than hiring officers at a higher salary, at a higher rate with benefits?
I believe it's less effective. And when you go back to, you know, 2011 times, you're talking about those numbers, that's when we had more police officers. So we needed less overtime because we had the capacity to go out and do regular work during regular hours. And as those numbers dwindle, we have less ability to do that, and we need more overtime. Our communication center is a great example. That's where our dispatchers are. So when you call 911, that's who answers the phone, and same as our non-emergency line. And they are about 40% understaffed. So we are supplementing their staffing with police officers working overtime just so we can keep up with the call volume. That's a huge drain on overtime within the city. So that's one example of where we had, you know, normal people working their regular hours, no overtime in those seats, then it would cost less money for the city of Sacramento. It's a really good example because there is a lot of money spent in there to make sure that we have the ability to answer those phones.
When talking with the city council and the mayor, what solutions would your association propose to help address a budget deficit and one that can continue beyond this fiscal year?
Well, this is an interesting time because I've been doing this with the association for a long time, and there have been moments where the city had the inability to pay. There just wasn't enough revenue to handle what they were doing. And this is a structural deficit. It's a different problem. This is a spending problem, and it's the council's spending problem. So there are projects and programs that they could go through and cut back on to make sure that this deficit didn't exist. But those are very tough decisions for them and very tough political decisions for them.
Finally, when talking about some of those programs, I mean, there is funding for youth programs, violence prevention. Community members play a role, and they work with the city. They work with law enforcement. What role does that play in crime reduction from your standpoint, if that's at risk of being cut?
It does have a role, and I think it's a role that we work together on, because some of the groups that are looking at even talking about cutting police vacancies and using those monies towards youth services and other things, we're probably more aligned in our thoughts than most people believe. We want youth services in the community. We want to be able to do those things, and we often consider ourselves to be part of those services. So when we talk about the things we may have to cut if we continue down this road, our violent crime reduction team, for example, they are the group that's out there. They're very skilled, high-qualified people out there trying to help reduce violent crimes against youth in the community. The Human Trafficking Task Force, for example, is out rescuing young girls from the evil predators of the world. And that's another youth service that we provide by keeping those funds in place. So it's not that we would want to stop youth services from occurring. It's just that the cuts that are going to come to the police department jeopardize some of the youth services we provide.
Dustin, thank you so much for joining us and stopping by.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Dustin Smith is the president of the Sacramento Police Officers Association. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about public safety and police funding in this year's Sacramento City budget, which the City Council will vote on later today. Now we're going to bring in Mai Vang. She is the City Council member for Sacramento District 8. Welcome.
Hi, Vicki. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for making the time. It's a busy day. You've been on the City Council now since 2020. What has been your experience when it comes to addressing budgetary needs, especially in a year like this where you need to close a significant gap?
Yeah, you know, every season, every year when we have the conversation around budget, you know, my message to my colleagues is that it's really important that our values reflect our funding priorities. And as you know, Vicki, we're facing a $44 million deficit, and there is no easy decision, only tough choices that this council must make in order to balance the budget. And I know tonight we're going to be debating the current proposal on the table and making a vote. And I want to share to those that are listening that public safety is a priority for me. I am a pro public safety, a public servant. I am pro impact. And for me in particular, before I came on the City Council, this City Council passed a resolution redefining public safety to move beyond traditional services, something that I also believed in as well, even though I didn't get a chance to vote on that resolution. But the resolution formally defines and broadens the deliver public safety to make sure that it not only include police and fire, which is essential, but that it also include youth center prevention services offered by both the city and in partnership with the community-based organization. And so for me, public safety is a holistic approach. It is a public approach, but it's not reflected in our current budget.
Well, we just heard from the Sacramento Police Officers Association about the struggles that they faced over the last several years. And a lot of money is going towards overtime. They just lost two officers within the last week. He went from 639 to 637 officers at the department. When you hear these concerns from a service that is public safety and a big part of public safety, as a council member, How do you weigh that and factor that into your decision making over what to cut? Because cuts need to be made.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think for me in particular, just like you heard from Dustin from the police union, is that this is a trend that we're actually seeing, not just in the city of Sacramento, but across our entire country, right? So it's not an issue that's just facing the city of Sacramento. But when we talk about looking at our budget in totality, for me, that's really, really important that we look at best practices, right? I was just in a community meeting last week to address a violent shooting that happened in the Meadowview area. We lost a 15-year-old boy. He was shot and killed. And last week, our community came together, on-site management, community-based organization, our churches, our school district, and police was there too. And we talked about some of the best practices. And even Deputy Chief Monk, who used to be part of South Command when I was the first council member, said in the room that PD cannot address this alone and that it's a holistic approach and that we have to address the root causes. And if that's the case, then we also have to make sure that our budget reflects that, right? And so for me, that's really, really important. This is a partnership, but that also, that partnership needs to be reflected in our budget. I have tremendous respect and gratitude for our police officer, and I know the work that they do daily. I think for me, when I am on the dais and I am looking at our budget in totality and thinking about best practices and thinking about what can we do to serve the needs of our families and our communities who are suffering right now, I do look at those vacancies, and I didn't ask for all of the vacancies, right? I scoped through them. I looked at them. Did any of these make sense? So for example, you know, I shared on the dais, the sheriff department has a Marine unit. And I noticed that on the budget proposal reduction, there was two vacant Marine positions. And so I said, hey, City of Sacramento is within the county. You know, could we look at other alternatives, right? Since the City of Sacramento is within the county, or ShotSpotter in particular, which we've know that hasn't been really accurate, right? And we also know that Chief Lester has eliminated some of our position to respond to ShotSpotter. So like just trying to figure out how we can be efficient with some of these vacancies so that we could actually redirect those dollars to some critical needs. And so I do want to share that every time when there are tough decisions that have to be made, it is often balanced on the back of our youth and parks department, right? And so while I am grateful, and I know that it's a tough decision that we're absorbing 23 CSO in the police department, parks, we're eliminating 56 positions. So what does that mean for our parks in particular? That means less programming. That means less spaces for our youth, our families, our seniors. And these are things that we have to take into consideration as policymaker, taking a step back and looking at the budget in totality.
From your perspective, how did the city get to a $44 million budget deficit, a structural budget deficit? Is the city spending beyond its means?
Yeah, I think a big part of it is our expenditures, exceeds our revenue, right? And one, it's contractual. The other part is pension, right? But what I will say is that our budget, the majority of our budget is a people's budget. We pay our workers to provide direct services. And so that's really important to also share with the public. And when you look at our budget, the majority of our budget is actually tied up in public safety and police and fire. Right. And so when you have to make tough decisions and you look at the budget in totality, you see that the majority of our funding is in police and fire, and the largest department being police. Hmm.
Finally, this budget deficit isn't projected to just be this upcoming fiscal year. It is projected to increase in the future. So how are you going to work as a council member with your colleagues to what seems like make more tough decisions in the coming years?
Yeah, I think for me, Vicky, in particular, I'm always seeking common ground, right? I think the things that I care about, my colleagues care about too, deeply, right? That's public safety, public health, making sure that our youth has access to opportunities. These are the things that I know the mayor and the council cares about as well. The question is, do we have a shared strategy on how we want to get there? Right. And that is the reason why you have 9 elected officials with perhaps different ideas on strategies on how to balance the budget. And that's democracy. Right. My goal is try to find common ground where I can with my colleagues, but also to stay true to my values, and that public safety to me means more than just police. It also means investing in our youth, our babies, and our neighborhoods. And the other piece I just want to share with you, Vicky, is that, you know, obviously I can't share closed session conversations, but, you know, when we don't invest in our youth, when we don't invest in infrastructure, we end up paying for it in the long run in terms of liabilities, lawsuit, whatnot, right? And so when we're not taking care of our streets, when we're not taking care of our parks, when things happen, you know, lawsuits against PD in particular, like, we have to pay out as a city long term. And so investment in these critical infrastructure, investment in our youth and our babies and our neighborhoods is of utmost importance in terms of long term strategy if we're really talking about addressing our structural deficit.
I want to bring up one final thing that Dustin brought up with the Police Officers Association, and that, you know, being a police officer, it's competitive. You have surrounding cities and counties, and he's saying that they're losing out to nearby areas, a short drive away. Would you agree with that? And what could the city do to make being a police officer in the city of Sacramento more attractive to candidates?
Yeah, thank you so much, Vicky, for that question. I think for me in particular, you know, the city of Sacramento is in the middle of a negotiation. We can't share much, but we're in the middle of a negotiation right now. And I think for me, any union partner, whether that's Local 39 or fire or police, that, you know, I want to do my due diligence and look at the jurisdictions around me, right? And what they're currently paying. So I think that's important. I look at those number, whether you're police, right? But I think looking at that in totality is really important. So I do look forward to those negotiations and those conversations.
Councilmember Vang, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you so much, Vicky, for having me on.
Mai Vang is a Sacramento City Council member for District 8, and we've been talking about the proposed funding for public safety, youth, and police in this year's Sacramento City budget, which the council will vote on later today. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.